Hey, welcome Central Valley Kafa fam. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing why every person should read the Bible and how to study the Bible. Let's talk about it.
We are CVXA, a student faith movement for all nations across the Central Valley College campuses. We believe in a Holy Spirit-led life filled with real devotion, real brotherhood, and real responsibility. Our prayer for you is that you will learn and grow through today's podcast.
Today we're going to take time to discuss the value of God's word and how to apply it to our lives. Now first I want to read a scripture by the psalmist David found in Psalms 119 starting at verse 111. He says, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." Man, what a posture of heart towards the word of God. Let our hearts keep God's word as a heritage forever, as the joy of our hearts. And let our hearts always be set on keeping God's word to the very end, because the Bible says that we are blessed if we do his word. Now, before we talk about how to study your Bible, I want to share with you three reasons why you should study your Bible. All right, reason number one, when we read our Bible, we actually discover who Jesus is, because the Bible says that he is the word made flesh. Check this out. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and verse 14, the apostle John describes Jesus in this way. He says, "In the beginning was the word," capital W, "and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of truth." Then we pick up in Revelations 19, 11 through 13. "Then I saw heaven open, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself." Watch this. "He wore a robe dipped with blood, and his title was the Word of God." Revelations 19, 11 through 13. Here's what both scriptures are telling us. By the way, John, the same one that wrote, "In the beginning was the Word," was the same John that had the revelation who saw Jesus. And one of the titles that was given to Jesus that we will see in heaven, he is literally called the Word of God. So when we read in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, that is literally saying in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and the Word, and Jesus was God. So Jesus is literally the Word made flesh. When people wanted to understand, what is God like? What are his laws like? What is his truth like? Oh, okay, Jesus came to be a manifestation of what God intended through his word, through his instruction. That's what it means when we say the Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so as we read scriptures, we actually discover who Jesus is because we read his word. Did you know that in Psalms 138, God literally says, "I exalt my word above my own name." God is so serious about what he set into motion with his word, his precepts, his laws, his instructions. And so simply put, to say we love Jesus, we must have an equal love for his word, because they are one and the same. To say we love Jesus, we must have an equal value and love for his word. Reason number two, when we read the Bible, it addresses the issues in our soul. All right, let's pick up in Psalms 19, verse 7. It says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So here's how this whole thing works. We are made in the image of God, and we are made into three parts, meaning we are made up of our body, we are made up of our spirit, and we are made up of our soul. Our body is the tangible part that we can touch. Our spirit, little s, is what gets renewed or regenerated when we say yes to Jesus. And then there's a part of our being called the soul. The soul is your inner being. It's your mind. It's your will, your emotion. It deals with all the issues. And so when we said yes to Jesus, our spirit immediately got renovated, got renewed, became a new creation, but you notice that your flesh did not change, neither did your soul. This is why when a believer gets saved, his or her spirit is renewed and you are given new life, but there is no physical change nor immediate change in some of our past desires for sinful things. That is called sanctification. Through the process of sanctification, your soul actually gets delivered from previous sinful habits and our soul is renewed and aligned with God's word. That's why the Apostle Paul says we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every time we soak into God's word and we allow his word to get into us and we get into his word, there becomes a process of transformation. Our soul gets delivered. Our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, it literally comes into alignment with Jesus because the word is made flesh. The word and Jesus are one and they are working together, as we see in Psalms 19, to convert the soul, making you wise as a woman of God, as a man of God. And so think of it like this. When you sit down and you study your word, it's literally having a one-on-one with Jesus as he is addressing the issues in your soul and helping you navigate the issues of life. That is the power of studying the word. That is the power of being in relationship with Jesus. Hebrews 4:12, I love it. It says, For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is the word right here. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Apostle Paul wrote, all scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably and with personal integrity and moral courage. This is why we need the word, because it literally converts our soul. It helps bring alignment. I love it this way. When we look at God's word, as we study the word of God, as we study Jesus, we see a perfect mirror. And when we look into that mirror, we're able to see our deficiencies. We see the areas that we're lacking so that Christ can do his work inside of our hearts to look more like him. And so ultimately, reading his word is being mentored by Jesus. Reason number three. When we read the word of God, we actually discover who we are when we come to more knowledge of him. Psalms 19:8 says this, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And so when we study the Bible, we actually discover who we are called to be in Christ. We discover our identity. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 through 4 reads this. Peter said this, may God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. There are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Did you catch that? We have everything that we need to walk out the perfect will of God because of his divine power. But we receive this by coming to know him, as Peter has given us that instruction. Now, God has given us precious promises about our identity in him, about our inheritance, about our rights as sons and daughters of God. But these promises are available to us, and they empower us to walk in the divine nature that God has called us to. But we can't walk in those promises if we don't know what those promises are. And so the more we study the Bible, we understand who we are in Christ, because we know who he's designed us to be. The more we read about Jesus or the word, we discover who we're meant to be in Jesus. This is why we must commit ourselves to being students of the word. I love it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 in the Amplified says this, and This is how we know daily by experience that we have come to know him, to understand him and be more deeply acquainted with him. If we habitually keep focused on his precepts and obey his commandments and teachings, we actually get to know him more if we obey and we habitually focus on his teachings. When we focus on Jesus, we become more like him. So what does it mean to be a student of the Word of God? Well, many of you are college students and you are excellent at studying for your finals, excellent at studying for your midterms. In the same way, treat your reading and studying of the Bible like the way you would study for an exam. You have pens, you have highlighters, you go to a secluded location, you get focused, you get no distractions. Why? Because you want to dive in and understand the content to pass the test. In the same way, treat God's word in that manner. Pens, highlighters, everything. It allows you to focus, have a journal just for notes. All these will position you to receive the revelation of God. The more that you read his word, the more you will experience Jesus. Now that we've talked about the why, let's talk about the how. How do we study our Bible? I want to give you 6 steps to how to study your Bible. Now, this is something that I learned from my mentor in my faith. It also can be found in a book called Discipleship by Design by Harvey Herman. The name of this book will actually be in this podcast notes. But the 6 steps I'm going to share with you is a simple 6-step process that will allow you to engage with the Word of God. Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write out PROAPT, PROAPT. Again, this acronym will also be in the podcast notes. But as we're going through each one, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight as I share 6 practical steps on studying the Bible. Let's dive into it. Now, the first one I want to share is P. The P stands for prayer. Pray before reading his word. Spend time thanking God, asking the Holy Spirit to teach you, to give you wisdom and revelation, because he's here. He wants to show you and illuminate the word so you can understand who Jesus is. He wants to show you truth. The Bible was meant to actually lead you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And so that's why we start off anytime we read our Bible, we want to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us understand and to learn and to hear from him. The R stands for read. Begin to choose a passage of scripture. If you're like me and you're like, where do I begin? Let me just say the first best place I would recommend starting is start in the book of John. Start in chapter 1 and just start reading it line by line. So the R stands for read. Read a passage of scripture. Try reading it in different translations. Maybe read it in the New Living Translation or the NIV translation or the Amplified. Reading different translations allow you to understand it in different words. It's still the same language, still the same content. It's just put in different languages or different translations so you can understand it in a better context. So begin to read the Word of God. The O stands for observation. I want you to begin writing down what you observe from the text. Now, here are some questions that you can actually ask to help you engage in observation. 1, who is the writer actually talking to? Where is the location of this actual passage of scripture, meaning is it being written to a church that's in Thessalonia? What was the culture like? What was the time era? Why was the writer writing this specific type of letter? If there's a certain word that you don't know about, look it up in the dictionary. Google is your best friend. When it comes to accurately interpreting scripture, we must ask this question. When the readers first read this letter, what did they understand when they first read this text? Because this becomes important. We must understand what they heard during that time is how we must accurately hear it in our time. So in order to fully grasp an interpretation of a scripture, we must first understand what was that writer saying during their time? What were their listeners hearing during that time? Then from there, we can accurately apply it to our life because it cannot mean something to us what it did not mean to them or the original intent. And Sim, once you start asking these type of questions, I want you to begin paraphrasing in your own words what the scripture is saying and what you are learning and what you feel the Holy Spirit is speaking to you from this passage of scripture. Again, this is all being written down in a journal because you are a steward and you are a wise woman of God or a wise man of God of revelation. So here are some common tools that will also help. Again, these tools will be in the show notes as well too. But commentaries. Commentaries are giant books written by Bible scholars of people that have literally devoted their lives to studying scripture. And they put their content, they put commentaries, they put notes, and they break down the scripture, and they break down the Greek, or they break down the Hebrew, they break down the historical context so you can accurately understand these questions that I've asked you before. So commentaries are your best friend. Another good commentary to find, free commentaries, excuse me, is BibleStudy.com, BibleStudyTool.com. Matthew Henry is a good commentary I like to use. BibleHub.com is another great book, website, resource you could use. GotQuestions.org is another question website where you can literally type in any question you have about the Bible and scholars from around the world will answer it. These are three of the tools that I use on a common basis that allow me to engage with studying the Word of God. So now we've made our observations, we've written them down in our journal. Now let's move to the application portion. How do I apply what I've just learned? What will I do differently? Specific. So here's what I always encourage students to say, to do is this. Don't be general. For example, maybe you read a passage about reading the Word of God, how God inspired the Word and how it's a double-edged sword, like we were reading Hebrews. Okay, so an example of something that's being general would be something like, man, after reading today's Word, Lord, I want to be more disciplined in studying my Bible. Instead, try being more specific and saying, Lord, in an effort to become more disciplined in my personal Bible study, I'm going to commit specifically from 7:30 to 8:30, Monday through Friday, doing this pro-apt model through the Gospel of Luke. Do you see the difference? One was just a general, God help me be disciplined. And the second was an actual application of how I'm going to execute this new revelation that God has given me. Because the Bible promises when we actually apply the Word of God, when we do the Word of God, our life will be blessed. We don't want to be just readers of the Word. We want to be doers of the Word. We want to act on what Jesus is telling us to do and how the Holy Spirit is leading us. And so when it comes to application, we want to be specific on how we plan to apply it for our life. So then the other P, now moving our way down, the P now, turn that application into a prayer and thank the Holy Spirit for helping you apply His truth. It's very simple. So it can look like, man, Holy Spirit, I've made this commitment to read my Word and do this pro-apt model for Monday through Friday. Holy Spirit, would you give me the strength? Help me, lead me, and guide me. And I ask you to help me fulfill this new revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, the prayer, you want to begin in prayer and you want to end in prayer because prayer is the lifeline of every single believer. Now we're coming to the tail end of this. Tell. The T stands for tell. Tell someone your truth. You just got a new revelation. Maybe you're reading the book of John and God speaks to you and you're like, wow, this truth is transforming my life. The best way to get more revelation or to become anchored in what you're learning is to immediately teach somebody else. Give away what's been given to you freely. Because when you give away, the Bible promises that you would actually receive more. Because God knows, wow, this man of God or this woman of God is faithful to not only carry my revelation, but to release the revelation. I'm going to give her more. And so the more that we give it away, it actually becomes more anchored in our soul. The best teachers are the ones that are constantly teaching. They become great stewards of revelation because they're always teaching, they're passing on information. So the best way to get it deeper in your heart is to immediately tell somebody else. All right, so let's recap. What did we talk about? We talked about the pro-apt model, how to study our Bible. The P stands for prayer. We pray before reading the Word of God. Then we move to the R, which is reading the passage of Scripture, tried in different translations. The O stands for observations. Write down what you're observing from the text. Then we move down to the application. How do I apply this new revelation to my life? The P again stands for pray. Pray that this application would actually, the Holy Spirit would help you apply this and fulfill what God has been speaking to you through His Word. And the final part is T. Tell someone, release what God has given you, what He's showing you in His Word. And you can, I guarantee you, you do this pro-app model. You're writing this down. You're doing this in your journal. You will mature quickly in the Word of God. You will mature quickly in your relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, because now you are coming into deeper fellowship with God. In fact, Jesus said it this way, he who is ashamed of me or my word will not be entered into my kingdom. So sometimes people can love Jesus but are ashamed of his word. Why did he make that distinction? Because his word is literally himself. That's why he said the word is made flesh. He did not separate the two. Neither should we. And so we are called to be a people that are biblically anchored. And we become biblically anchored when we know how to study our Bible accurately. We are called to live a supernatural lifestyle of demonstrating God's love and power to a world desperate to know him. And we can only truly represent Jesus well when we understand who he is. Now may the Lord bless you as you continue your journey of discovering who he is through the study of his word.
Thanks for receiving and applying what you learned today. Now go make disciples of all nations. Remember, you were born to reproduce. Go find, feed, and fight for the lost lambs of God on your campus.